James chapter number 1, the first chapter in the book of James. As we look in this portion of scripture at the word of God, James chapter number 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, I don't believe you ought to change scripture, right? But I think it's safe to say all of us lack wisdom. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're in our Bibles reading the letter from James, not the son of Zebedee, not the some other James in the Bible that we've looked at. This is the brother of the Lord. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus in the house? And yet he grew up with a sibling by the name of Jesus. And it was late in the ministry of Jesus, he hadn't even embraced who his brother was. And yet after the resurrected Jesus had come off the cross and into the tomb and up from the grave he arose, before he went back to heaven, he saw James. And by the time he's writing this letter, he's convinced he wasn't just my brother, he was the Son of God. He picks up his letter and writes to Jews who are scattered. They're struggling, they're suffering. They're going through difficulties for their stand for God. And yet in the midst of their trials, James says to them, regardless of what you face, you can still count it all joy. We're studying this theme, and the emphasis of James is summarized in two words: grow up. Every problem they were having in James, whether they dealt with trials, whether they dealt with a talking faith that wasn't a walking faith, an out-of-control tongue, envyings, backbiting, strifes, and divisions, or a desire to be rich and to play with toys, every problem they were having was a result of spiritual maturity. Isn't it amazing how many of those problems go away when you start growing up in the Lord? So in chapter number 1, he's mentioning trials as a catalyst for spiritual growth. If you want to grow, you got to learn how to deal with trials. We've often said everybody's going through a trial, coming out of a trial, or headed for a trial. I dare say most of us in the building tonight are going through a trial. Let the church say amen. But aren't you glad that trials don't determine your joy? Joy should not be based. Listen, happiness is based on happenings. But joy is based on a relationship with the Lord. So James says you keep your joy by counting it all joy. In other words, there has to be some reckoning. There has to be some calculating. There has to be some esteeming. There has to be some adding up. There has to be some coming to a conclusion that what I'm facing does not determine what I feel. What I'm facing does not determine how I live. Listen, by the way, feelings go up and down, but the fact of the matter is I can still have joy. How? You're assured of some facts. God tests his people. These students have just come out of, some of them have come out of standard achievement tests. And it's great because you missed classes, but it's grueling to be tested. You can't study for achievement tests, can you? You know it or you don't. And let me tell you something, when the trial comes, you can't study for it. You know it or you don't. God tests his people. Testing is for evaluation. Testing is for exposure. Not just to new situations, but exposure to ourselves. We think we're real spiritual till a trial comes and we find out we're not as big as we thought we were. It's for enlightenment. God teaches patience. Patience. What kind of patience? Patience that brings us completeness, that you may be perfect. Patience that gives us contentment, that you may be satisfied. Patience that can only be given when there's compliance. If you want completeness, if you want maturity, if you want contentment, you want satisfaction, then you got to give God some compliance. Notice he said, patience can have her perfect work in you when you let it. I'm just not a patient person. Let it. God said, I'll give it to you if you let it. But I want us to look tonight that we are assisted in the fight. We're assured of some facts. We're assisted in the fight. If you lack wisdom, raise your hand. If you're not willing to raise your hand and say you lack wisdom, then you ought to raise your hand and say you lack honesty. Either way, you got a problem. If any of you lack wisdom. By the way, in the context of trials, this whole context is about trials. And I don't know about you, people seem to lose their mind when they have trials. If there's ever a time we need wisdom, it's in the midst of trials. James says, if you lack it, and by the way, we all lack it, but the available gift is for wisdom, but the available gift can only be given when we approach and ask God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. By the way, there's no doubt in our minds we lack wisdom, but there's also no doubt in our mind that God has wisdom. He's a wise God. Proverbs chapter 8 says he employed the use of wisdom when he created the world. And if you ever go outside and look at how the trees are flapping and the wind is blowing and the birds are singing every day and you go, how in the world could all that happen? I'll tell you why. It was orchestrated by a wise God. In 6 days, he didn't get created. He did the create. Aren't you glad that your God isn't some little peon of a God that shares his authority and authenticity with some other idols? Aren't you glad tonight that you serve the one true God, eternal, all-knowing, ever-present, unchanging. He knows all. He can do all. He's everywhere at the same time. He's got it. And he said, I not only got it, but I'll give it. Amen. But you better ask for it. Do you pray for wisdom? God's the source and the supplier, the available gift, the asked God, the abundant granting, which give it all men liberally. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. God's not cheap. Aren't you glad he doesn't have a quota on his wisdom? Some of us need more than others. And good night. Seems like time I get it, I use it up. Ask of God. Young people, you need wisdom. You seniors that head off to college, you better learn how to ask for wisdom. Smart people aren't smart people. Smart people who are dumb people that realize that God's smart. Amen. Nobody knows it all, but we know that God does. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which give it to all men liberally. In other words, God hands out wisdom. It's an abundant granting. He gives to all men liberally. And with that abundant granting comes an affectionate grace and upbraideth not. In other words, he does not chide us. He does not revile us. And he doesn't make us feel guilty for asking and guilty for receiving. We talked last week, some people you don't ever want to take anything from because they're going to remind you how sorry you were for needing it. Not God. He upbraideth not. God never goes, dummy, you need me again. You know what he says? I'll give it to you and I'll never make you feel bad for asking. But here's what I want you to get tonight and then I'll quit. There's an admonishment. I want you to notice here. There's an admonishing guide here. He says, I'll give it to you. I give you liberally what you need, and I won't make you feel bad. Well, let me admonish you. But when you do ask me, ask in faith. Amen. right about this time in the message, there are a bunch of people going, I'm right with you, Pastor. I'm lack wisdom. That's me. I ask God. That's me. He says he'll give it liberally. I read that. He said he won't make me feel bad. I hear that. But why don't I have it? It's a faith problem. Come on. It's a faith problem. Listen, when you approach God asking him for something, acting like he can't give you what you asked for, don't plan on getting it. Somebody say amen. Let him ask in faith. You don't have to approach God like you're something, but you better approach God like he's everything. Let him ask in faith. Folks, we're living in perilous times. The devil walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You young couples that want to get married, you better recognize before you get married how much marriage is under attack. You young men that want to preach, better recognize before you get in the ministry how much God attacks preachers. You kids that want to get grown, you better realize how tempted it is when you're grown. But in the midst of all of that, aren't you glad that God says, I'll give you what you need, but you better ask in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he, she that cometh to God must believe that he is. How much do I need to have faith? Money in the bank? Food on the table? How much do I need to have faith? Talent? Ability? A great job? Promising career? Good grades? No! The only thing you need to have faith is the assurance that God is. God is what? God is, period. That's an existence verb. It's not linking anything to anything. It's not helping anything to anything. It's not doing action. It is a verb that is there in the sentence merely to indicate existence. And James says, but the writer of Hebrews says, if you've got faith, you must believe that God is. Read the newspaper today. They were named in the obituary column. But I guarantee you, God's name wasn't one of them. He is. There must be a faith-filled approach. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. I wonder if we have some waverers in the house. Do you ever get down on your knees and pray? And get up, and before you can even get up on the second knee, you're already doubting whether God can answer it? By the way, you know how you know you're doubting God? Because you get up off your knees and already start moving towards your contingency plan. God, I want you to come through for me. And you get up off your knees and start working out another situation as if to tell God, I don't think you will, so I'm going to go ahead on plan B. Let me tell you something. He's able. Somebody say amen. He's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. And we got some thinkers in here. And God is able to do not only above, not only abundantly above, but exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. I wonder if we could go home tonight and say, I've been asking for all the right things without faith. And in this context, wisdom. See, the devil's not any new person. Sin's not a new thing. 2017 doesn't necessarily present us with a new world. The devil's just diversifying his schemes. And one of the best times to tempt Christian people to sin is when they're in the middle of a trial. Come on. We all come from different walks of life, and tonight we're all from different churches. But without having 20 minutes to talk about your business, I can tell you, you know what trials are. And teenagers have trials. And little kids have trials. We don't need the absence of trials. We need the availability of wisdom. I'm just telling you, ask. Why? Because it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. But here's what God's saying. Don't knock on the door like you don't think nobody's home. Knock like you know I'm in there. By the way, I know he's in there. I don't ever have to go, is he asleep? Is he on vacation? Is he gone? When I knock on God's door, I know he's in there. Now, I don't know when he's going to open the door. Right? And I don't know what he's going to say when he opens it. But I do know he's there. And my knock better be knocking like he's there. I'm tired of knocking. Keep knocking. Why? Because it's better to keep knocking a long time than to leave the house without wisdom. Brothers and sisters, whatever you're facing today, he didn't just say have joy. He said count it all joy. So if you got a trial and you don't have joy, and somebody else has a trial and does have joy, don't convince yourself that your trial is worse and their trial is better. Wrong. There's something wrong with your counting. And until you fix your counting, you're going to keep ending up with the wrong answer. May God help us with the gift of wisdom to count it all joy. Amen. Our Father, thank you. I can't help but think there are people in the building tonight that are going through it. They're in a new scenario. They're facing a new battle. And they need your help. Maybe some folks will come to the altar tonight and just say, God, I'm asking you for something I've asked a number of times. But tonight, I'm asking believing. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to get up off this altar and know you're able. We know that you're going to come through if we believe. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing together, some are already on the altar. Why don't you join them?